Hey folks, it's Mike Church, and here at the Veritas Radio Network, we're building the future of talk radio. Meanwhile, our friends at Buck Steel are building the future of steel buildings. Did you know that a steel building can cost half as much as a traditional block, brick, or wood building? Speaking of traditional, Buck Steel is a family-owned and operated business with over three decades of experience making and installing steel buildings for any application, from backyard shops and garages to commercial warehouses, manufacturing facilities, retail shopping centers, and barns. Buck Steel can build your building with quality and integrity you can rely on. And Buck Steel's Pro Select Erecting crews are always available to assist in erecting your steel building project.
For more information, including special pricing for Crusade Channel listeners, call 866-595-2381. That's 866-595-2381. Or visit BuckSteel.com.
Buck Steel and the Crusade Channel, building the future with integrity.
The Veritas Radio Network is guaranteed the right to offend, annoy, agitate, shout heresy, and entertain.
You should start programming right now.
Kind of like the cultural sewage served up on Bravo or CMT, only it's on 24 hours a day, except Sundays. When the truth gets you angry and you throw your smartphone, remember, no one is forcing you to listen to the truth on the Veritas Radio Network.
You can't handle the truth.
You're doing that of your own free will. That's what makes this country great, and any gay marriage pointless.
That's offensive!
So there isn't much you can do about it, Chowderhead.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Grab a book, take a vow, and conform your mind to reality. Reality. Otherwise, you're just another Judas-inspired Karl Marx wannabe.
And your children will steal your credit card number to buy tickets to the Miley Cyrus Twerkers Ball.
I came in like a wrecking ball!
Are you ready? Let's get it on. On the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.
It's a Monday, obviously. And if you're not feeling Monday, stick around for a couple of minutes and you will feel Monday. Because somebody's got a case of the Mondays. Greetings to you. It's the Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Asking question. Scratch that. Axing the question of the day.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Well, I'll tell you. Yeah, folks, we've got a lot to talk about here today in a little bit of time, so let's get Obama over with and let's get to it.
In order to ensure the security and continuing stability, the Republic will be reorganized into the First Galactic Empire! For a safe and secure society!
So I'm calling on Congress to pass this reform, and I'm going to sign them into law.
No, you're not!
Down the thunder.
You told
Okay, telephone number if you'd like to be on the program today, call 844-527-8723. By the way, I just bloused on over to drudgereport.com, Mark, and if you're still listening, here's a headline with a picture of a blubbering LeBron James, grown men do cry, yells the headline, grown men do cry. It reminds me of a line from the movie The Big Lebowski. Are you surprised at my tears, sir? Strong men do cry, sir. Strong men do cry. So, 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. Website, as always, is at veritasradionetwork.com. By the by, let me check my email, and I'll give you an update on that. By the by, I know many of you have been having an issue with the okay. I know some of you have been having an issue with the Windows Phone app and the Shoutcast service to listen live. I believe that we're going to have that we'll have that fixed. As a matter of fact, I can. It is fixed, but it there's just a. It's very difficult dealing with the Windows company, there's one more hurdle that we have to cross. But I'll get it. We'll get it done today. I just wanted to make that announcement because we updated the app on last Thursday night for Friday, and I've got nothing but positive reviews for it. If you're not using our app at Veritas, you go to the Google Store or the iTunes Store and search for Veritas Radio Network. If you're not using our app, then you're missing out on the easiest, most convenient, and most detailed, with all the options available, way to listen to the Veritas Radio Network and all the shows that you love here. So I thought I'd pass that on. My website's at MikeChurch.com. You can follow us on the Twitter feed, at TheKingDude, and on the Facebook Mike Church Show fan page. Got a lot to do here today, folks. And we've got a two-week run up into Independence Day, and we'll have all sorts of things to talk about for Independence Day forthcoming here. But I just wanted to say that we could do a day, this day in Founding Fathers history every day if we wanted to, leading up to the July the 2nd is actually the day that you would remember it. And I'll try to mix some of that in every day, but we're going to have you from Friday, June the 30th, until Tuesday, July the 5th. This is going to be Independence Day, American History, Greatest Hits Central. And we'll have some new stuff thrown in, so mark your calendars for that. Here's an interesting story that is found at the USA Today on Friday last. I'm just going to keep updating this because I am following the story with great earnestness to see whether or not the reason can win out over emotion. And when I say reason winning out over emotion, I obviously am talking about the Brexit vote. There's no reason, I can think of no reason, many people can think of no reason whatsoever why Great Britain or the United Kingdom would not leave the European Union. Doesn't seem to be anything that would constrain or would cause them, that could cause them to remain in the European Union, save for emotions, save for the shame that's being heaped upon people that are about to go vote on this on Thursday, that if they do vote for it, why, you're just a bunch of racists. Can you believe the racism card works in the UK, too? You're just a bunch of racists. You don't want to take in any more Muslim immigrants. Well, if they're smart, they don't want to take in any more Muslim immigrants. As a matter of fact, if we're smart, we don't want to take in any more Muslim immigrants. Let me tell you something, a couple of things that I'd like to ramble on, and I will ramble on about until I'm blue in the face. And that's a couple of things about this. Number one, why does it seem that the conversations that need to occur are only happening in very small and very limited quarters? For example, conversation, and by the way, we're live on YouTube, too. So if you can only get YouTube in your office, well, there's a way to listen. And you've got the ugly mug of me. I've got a brand-new bow tie. Mrs. Church purchased it for me from an Etsy store in France. We actually got an actual airmail. Christopher, have you ever seen an actual airmail package? Have you ever seen one that actually has an airmail stamp on it? It says it was delivered airmail?
Maybe. Maybe once in a while.
I'll bring the envelope in. The new ties came in via airmail. I was like, wait a minute, they still have airmail? I remember when I was a kid, we used to go to the post office. They used to collect stamps. And some of the more rare stamps, if you're a stamp collector, you know this. Some of the more rare stamps are the stamps that were airmail stamped when the Postal Service first started. By the way, a constitutional duty. That's an enumerated power. Isn't it ironic that people make fun of and seem to despise the post office the most, and the post office is really one of the only federal agencies that ought to exist? Maybe we actually should try and save the post office just as saving a piece of actual constitutionalism. How about that? Put that in your pipe and smoke it for a little while.
Do you remember the movie The Aviator with
Kareev? Yeah.
It was all about postal.
That's right. He was the first one. They were the first ones to put the mailbags in the back of the plane. That's right.
And then it's also the turning point of passenger aviation. He took on the girl to transport her to where his destination was.
Right. I haven't seen it in a long time. Gosh, that's an 80s movie. How do you remember that? That would have been before he fell.
I destroyed the VHS. I watch it so much.
Destroyed the VHS. By the way, we have a flash sale going on in the Founders Trading Post. Get your Patrick Henry America Statesman books seriously discounted for the first 10 people that go in there and try and purchase them today. It's a great book, edited by yours truly. Patrick Henry America Statesman. MikeChurch.com/shop is the Founders Trading Post address. Anyways. Back to these conversations that we should be having. I was telling Mark at the end of his broadcast today, I was telling him because he had seen, now this is kind of an interesting story that neither one of us has told, I believe. And that is, I used to be a guest on Mark's show, The Forgotten Men, when he was on his old station in the old country. And he, I'm trying to remember the call letters of the channel in Maryland. And on one of the trips where I went to Mordor, I know what it was. I was invited to speak when people used to invite me to speak to events, and I rarely turn anyone down. Hint, hint. I was invited to attend and then speak at the American the Academy of Philosophy and Letters, APL. They have an annual meeting. They had it at the Doubletree in Baltimore. And I did a week of shows at Mordor from the XM Studios. And I wanted to meet Mark personally. And so Mark, he was living in Maryland at the time. Mark came down and picked me up. To drive me to Maryland, which was not too far from his house, where he lived at the time. And we stopped and we had lunch on the way. And we talked golf almost the whole way. I mean, we talked a little bit about other things, but we talked golf. And he doesn't talk about this much, but Mark used to be a low handicap, very, very frequent golfer. So, anyways, I was watching yesterday's U.S. Open, and besides the fact that Fox has totally corrupted and destroyed the CBS-esque aura to the game of golf, it is no longer a gentleman's game. It's all rock and roll. You've got I was even noticing yesterday that they put Paul Azinger and company into these Sennheiser microphone headsets. And they had the compression and limiting turned up so heavily that Paul Azinger sounded like the Grease Man for a little while. Going out to commercial breaks, they're playing rock and roll music. They played Heart. They played Bon Jovi. When they were doing montages or packages, pre-produced packages for the players or over rock and roll beds. Mark Stein wrote a piece about this once upon a time back in 2006 or 2007. I've read it from time to time here on the show. Maybe I should do that today. And it was Stein's piece was called, it was 20 years ago today, I think, and he was commemorating the 20-year anniversary of Alan Bloom's, the publishing of Alan Bloom's book, The Closing of the American Mind. And Stein had noted that American music today, there was 20 years ago today that Americans should have discovered that the band had nothing to say. And that culture had our culture had devolved into the point where the music that it's producing is just embarrassing, and it's not culturally relevant. And there's small amounts of skill that go into it, but not the kind of skill that used to go into producing records and to producing music. And it's just a sad state of affairs. I was remarking to someone the other day. And by the way, I'm just blathering and babbling on here because it's a Monday, and we can. And you people probably have a case of the Mondays too. I was remarking to someone. I know it was Jay Thomas, the actor, when he was here in Studio D 2 weeks ago. I said, because his son JT is a successful recording artist and a successful writer. And I was remarking to Jay that back in the day. When Frank Sinatra was coming up, there would not have been as much competition for record sales and for recording contracts and for radio play as there is today. And the reason is it's kind of like broadcasting today. Now, everyone is a musician. Everyone has a band. Everyone's got Pro Tools. Everyone's got digital audio workstations that can record and mix together their own music. So now everybody is a musician, and everyone has a band. And everyone, it seems, is a songwriter, and everyone's the next big thing, and everyone is a sex, drugs, and rock and roll, et cetera, et cetera. Same thing with broadcaster. Now, everyone's a broadcaster because everyone has a microphone and access to digital recording devices, and everyone has access to the internet, and everyone has Facebook pages, and everyone has this and that and the other, so we can all make podcasts. And a podcast equals broadcaster. No, it doesn't. I've heard some of your podcasts. It doesn't make you a broadcaster. It makes you someone that purchased a microphone and recorded something and call it broadcasting. And I was remarking to Jay that, and Mike, you sound like a radio snob. No, I sound like someone that's very, very fond of my vocation and our profession and wishes for the vocation and the profession to continue as a vocation and a profession, not as something that is a hobby that it is presented as a vocation and a profession. There's a huge difference there. But anyways, so Fox is well on its way to just ruining the game of golf. Now, when you watch the Masters on CBS, you know, they had one commercial break per hour, and it's not really a commercial break. It's usually Cadillac or IBM or someone buys an ad that gets repetitive after a while. There's beautiful original music. It's serene. It's classic. It sounds classic. It sounds classy. And it is presented with decorum and as though it's an event that matters and there's a certain series of tradition that goes along with it. No more. No more. Now let's see if we can get our hotsy-totsy girlfriends to show up at the 18th hole, scantily clad or barely clad, bearing children. So I just went and I just Google searched this real quick. Mike, why are you making such a big deal out of this? Wait, can please talk about Donald Trump, or bash Obama, or do something constructive with your life? Will you please? So I just Googled Dustin Johnson's girlfriend. I just searched, well, you can use Yahoo or Bing or whatever. Well, the search response is filled with Paulina Gretzky, barely clad, if clad at all. And that's his girlfriend who greets him at the 18th green. Now, I say this because this is the United States Open. This isn't the Kemper Classic, for heaven's sake. This isn't the Coors Open or the Pabst Blue Ribbon Pabst Blue Ribbon Challenge or whatever. It's the United States Open. It's put on by the frickin' USGA. It ought to matter. It ought to matter. It's golf. It's American golf's supposed to be signature of the, or it's the USGA, the United States Golf Association signature event. And yet at the end, as I said, this is the culture and the environment into which we introduce and we live with our daughters and our wives. Go look the pictures up. Miss Gretzky, M-I-S-S Gretzky, in greeting Dustin Johnson on the 18th green, is barely clothed. So much so, like I said, when she's walking and the cameramen are walking behind her with hand-in-hand with Dustin Johnson to go sign his scorecard, what is she doing? She knows that she's almost naked. She knows that the dress is riding up and that her lady parts are almost showing, so she keeps tugging at the dress. And I'm telling Mrs. Church, who's in there watching, and I said, don't these people, does no one do fashion, any actual fashion? You know, when you watch the Kentucky Derby, I can't wait for them to try to end this tradition. What's the tradition of, what is, here, let me put this in very fancy, fancy terms. What is the sartorial, what is the sartorial tradition, you see, of the Kentucky Derby? Or put better, what kind of fashion they got going on every year at Kentucky Derby? Make big headlines, Hoss. What is it? Hats, right? It's all the women all dressed up in hats. They have different kind of hats on. It's a hat show. And there's no bikinis. There's, if there are, I've never seen them. There's no bikinis. There's no there's no stripper poles. They just have hats and men's juleps. But the USGA is supposed to put a face for it. Now, they're wondering where all the kids are, because golf is in decline. Now, some people say that golf is in decline because Tiger is no longer popular. I don't believe that. I think golf is in decline because it is too much of a traditional gentleman's game. Well, if you're going to have a gentleman's game, you're going to have gentlemen. And I'm just going to say this for the edification of some of you that may be listening right now, and I say this often, and I don't say anything in regards to us conducting our affairs as fathers and gentlemen that I don't try to do myself and actually follow my example. And that's this. Go to any golf club. It doesn't matter how nice or how expensive it is. It doesn't matter if it's $60,000 a year membership or a $16 green fee for that day or whatever the case may be. Go to it and you will see fashion tragedies. Again, gentlemen, nobody wants to see your hairy or hairless bony legs. Put some freaking slacks on. Respect the game. Like, I have friends, and I used to play in golf. Well, Mike, they're nice. They have a hemline on them, Mr. Church. Please, they're nice shorts. I'm sure they are. Note that the USGA and the PGA do not allow short pants. Now, caddies can wear them, and that's bad enough. So, is it gentlemanly to go appear in public in various states of undress? I challenge you. Go back and look at photographs from the late part of the 19th century on, all the way up into the 1960s. Try to find any famous man, any famous male, doesn't matter who it is, and see if you can find a photograph of him topless. See if you can find a photograph of him running around in sandals and a tank top and a pair of cargo pants shorts. You'll find photographs of any of those guys that we know by name. G.K. Chesterton. Let's see here. Norman Rockwell. I'm trying to think of some of the ones that we portrayed in Radio the Way It Should Be memes. How about Christopher Dawson? We have a story from today that we're going to get into. How about J.R.R. Tolkien? How about C.S. Lewis? How about Richard Weaver? Go out and find him. You won't find him dressed like this, folks. There's a reason why. the residual grace still had male modesty. We talk about female modesty all the time. What about male modesty? And I must say, our young people obviously are totally devoid of the concept that dress and modesty in dress actually matters. I saw Adam Scott, the Australian golfer, on Friday. It was the first time I'd ever seen one. He had a collarless shirt on. It was collarless. It was like one of those workout shirts. It did have a placket on it with a zipper, but it was collarless. What is the human race devolving to? Just, folks, when we don't care about our own dignity in public, and that's what dress is. It is an expression of your human dignity. God created you. Pabst Blue Ribbon did not create you, gentlemen. Mr. Joseph P. Schlitz. And I don't know who the guy who Pabst was or what Pabst's first name was. He did not create you. God created you. And yet here we stand, or here we bear witness to this day in, day out, year in, year out. Why didn't Dustin Johnson, the golfer, tell Paulina Gretzky, hey, I might win tomorrow, wear something nice? Not only was the short almost showing, with the skirt almost showing lady parts, it was so airbrush painted on tight that there was nothing that was left in the imagination. But that was why I said men like Trent Kreslins and young Christopher were probably watching the end of the U.S. Open and didn't even know it was a golf tournament. See, Mike, that's why you got kicked off of Sirius XM, because nobody cares about anything like that. They want to talk about the election. They want to talk about Donald Trump going to the NRA. I'm sure they do. It's the Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Radio the way it should be, at 844-527-8723. Folks, we so rarely get phone calls these days here on this new startup network, which is live, by the way, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is a radio station. Please make it like one with your listening habits. Listen live when we are live. We're working on having live programming. No one has volunteered to step up to the plate to do the afternoon shift, which we could make live, and I think would help us all tremendously. But know that the Help Wanted sign is hanging outside the Veritas Radio Network door. Let's see here. I'll talk to Paul in Lancaster, Ohio. Paul, you're first up here this week on the Mike Church Show, part of the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network, radio the way it should be, at 8445-CRUSADE. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Hey, I heard you make a remark about Brexit, and I would submit to you that the number one reason why they are trying to stop that is because of NATO. NATO sits up there in Germany. We are pushing, poking and prodding the bear, and they need NATO. We've gone to the point of trying to get along with the Russians to wanting to overthrow them, and it's very disconcerting. That's all I have to say on that.
Paul, I'm not sure that I know what you're talking about.
Because NATO is involved. If the Brits exit, Cameron loses his job,
mm-hmm.
Germany, where NATO sits, they are not going to be able to harass the Russians. I'm telling you, it's more about NATO than anything else at this point.
Oh, you think that okay? So they need the Brits to stay in the EU so that they stay in NATO. Can't they stay in NATO and not be in the EU? The NATO predates the EU.
No, it won't happen. It'll become unmanageable. It's like a thread. It'll start to unwind. They've got to have NATO. America.
Well, good. Then that's another reason to encourage the Brits to vote to leave.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. But that's the number one reason. There's all kinds of reasons, but that's the number one reason.
Oh, okay, Now I understand. I got you. Yeah, it's a good point.
All right, brother. Drop off there, Mike.
Thank you very much. 8445-CRUSADE, our telephone number. Well, here's a headline for you on the Brexit. I said I was going to get into it. Exclusive poll, EU support for Brexit falls after Joe Cox movie murder. This is a USA Today Square. No, it's not the USA Today Square. That would be Today Today. It's USA Today Friday. British support for remaining in the European Union has weakened in the wake of the murder of the pro-EU politician Joe Cox, according to an online research company that released its results Friday. Now, folks, I don't know how accurate this is. I never heard of this company called Curiously. Q-R-I-O-S-L-Y. Get it? Curiously. But they claim to have polling information that says that, wow, the British people are now turning against Leave because of Joe Cox's murder. What would that have to do with? Oh, that's right. We don't want to become xenophobic isolationists. You believe that they're using Moroccan shame, Moroccan conservative shame tools on the Brits. And what they're trying to shame them into doing is to say, well, if you don't remain in the European Union, that means you oppose future immigration and importation of future immigrant population, you say. That makes us automatically a racist concern. We're turned into xenophobia now. You can't turn to xenophobia if you've immigrated 3 million Muslims into your midst. And by the way, the Brits know they have a problem with the 3 million Muslims they've immigrated because the Muslims have told them that they have a problem. The Islamics have told them, we don't want to assimilate in your stupid crumpet and tea culture. We have no interest in it. We're a bunch of goat herders. We like herding goats. We like raping and robbing and pillaging, and that's what we're going to do to you. As soon as our numbers are strong enough, we're going to go orthodox on you, and your little way of life is going to be kaput. Anything that would dismantle any of these forced compulsory unions, that's the word, compulsory unions, like the EU and the American Union. The American Union is also a compulsory union. People believe that we don't have any choice in the matter of government. That's just a crock. That defies the claim that we're the greatest, freest country in the history of the world. Really? The greatest, freest one? And yet a state can't leave the alleged voluntary union that makes us free? Really? You can hold those sick, twisted, warped thoughts together in the same brain at the same time? Check out the big brain on Brad. Well, of course... Curiously, a London-based technology startup that gathers data and intelligence about consumers through mobile phone apps found that backing among likely voters for Britain's EU membership has dropped to 32% from 40% before Cox was assassinated. Poll was based on a 1992 British adult survey on June the 13th to 16th and then compared to a survey on June the 17th, which was Friday, the day after Cox was shot and killed in Northern England. Startup claims to have held the first such survey on the topic. Respondents were asked. Question, here it is. Imagine the EU referendum were held today. Would you vote for the UK to remain a member of the European Union or leave the European Union? They were given three options. Remain in the EU, leave the EU, or don't know. Curiously found that 52% will vote to leave the bloc in a national referendum on June 23rd. Figure is unchanged from before the parliamentarians' death. The weakening support for remaining in the EU coincided with a large move toward don't know, which leaped from 16% to 9% before Cox's assassination. So, in other words, it sounds like a fabricated news story to me. And I listen to some of the garbage that's now crept into the debate. This is a very simple question. A question that we ought to be having here in America. That's why people are mortified of the Brexit debate. If the Brits actually vote to leave the European Union, that means it's feared that there will be copycat votes, that there will be spinoffs. Well, we ought to hope that there are spinoffs, and we ought to hope that we all get a vote on whether or not we want to leave Mordor on the Potomac River, especially after I share the news to you that your alleged conservative buddies in Mordor on the Potomac River are going to vote to conscript our daughters in a draft. What do you think about that, Podna? 844-527-8723 is our telephone number if you'd like to be on the program here today. Tommy Mayer, a suspect in the case who has been arrested but not charged, has ties to far-right, anti-immigration, and anti-EU groups. So what does that mean? So if you vote to leave the European Union, that means you're going to have more assassinations? Who believes this kind of stuff? Stephen Shakespeare, the founder and chief executive of the British polling firm YouGov, told the USA Today that he did not think Cox's murder would lead to a shift in attitudes towards the vote. Quote, "But the changing nature of the campaign will be changed, and that probably will have an impact," close quote, on opinion. Shakespeare also went on to say, quote, "What tends to happen when you have an event of this kind is that the voices of those who feel they are affected by something become quieter. They don't change their mind." Shakespeare said that the Leave campaign, quote, "will have wanted to go very hard on the immigration issue in the final week of the campaign and may find it hard to do so now. The Remain camp doesn't really need to be more polite because it doesn't want to talk about immigration. It wants to talk about the economy where it is much stronger." The major British polling firms, including YouGov, were expected to release their first EU opinion surveys following Cox's murder over the weekend. Now, I saw one, folks. It still says it's 54-46 Leave. I saw that the poll of polls, the average of all averages, still says that it's 54-46 Leave. Now, why is this important? Well, politically, it is the most consequential vote that's taken place since South Carolina voted to secede in December of 1860, and then again in January of 1861. Now, why do I bring that up? Because I was going to talk about this last week. When South Carolina voted to secede, what did they do? Now, it is true and unfortunate that in their secession convention, they did have references to slavery in there and to slave holding and slave owning. And they did mention slave owning states. Well, that was just an economic fact of life at the time. By the by, the men that were practicing slavery were also allegedly practicing Christianity. I've been asked this question many times, and I'll just mention to you. Oh, that reminds me, we've got a new edition of the warning, Catholic doctrine approaching air raid siren coming your way. I'll get it on next segment, but I'll just mention to you that going all the way back to the early part of the 15th century, when the slave trade began and it began to be known that Europeans were participating in it, that the it began to be known that the when it began to be known that the slave trade was progressing, the popes at the time issued what are called papal bulls against slave owning. And they specifically admonished anyone that slavery was a mortal sin. You could not keep people held in bondage. Because I've been asked this many times, well, what did your popes do about it? I said, well, I'll tell you what they did. They issued bull after bull after bull. There's even one that issued an encyclical on the teaching of sorts and added it to the magisterium that said that, no, if you were practicing Christian / Catholic, you could not own slaves at the time. But in any event, reading the, as a matter of fact, Brad Berzer wrote about this a couple of weeks ago because it was an anniversary of sorts. He wrote about it at the Imaginative Conservative magazine, the Imaginative Conservative website, that when South Carolina voted to secede, it was what they were doing was they were voting to resume their previous state. Now, think about that. How ironic that the term state can also be used in a sense that they were to resume your previous state, as in the condition that you're in. And the South Carolinians basically expressed that, hey, we entered into the Union as free people, we have the right or to make the choice of whether or not we wish to remain in the Union as free people. And we are voting that no, we don't want to remain in the Union as free people, we want to leave. Well, that's what the Brexit vote ultimately comes down to. Do the free people now remember? Where do we get the Magna Carta? Where do we get the idea of English common law, which we still practice today? Much of our municipal law is still based on English common law. Where do we get it from? Well, obviously, we get it from the Brits. Britain used to be known as the cradle of liberty. Political liberty is where it allegedly all began. And here they are having a question mark at the end of whether or not they can remain in something called a European Union, a union with other states that somehow is not voluntary? Really? How's that work out? 844-527-8723. Here it is. I was going through the pile of prep from last week to look for this. What Lincoln's Election Meant to South Carolina by Brad Berzer. Continuing on the same subject of Brexit and leaving unions and the like, at 844-527-8723 here on the Mike Church Show on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network, the finest of gentlemen founded South Carolina. Informants assured the famous London Times correspondent William Howard Russell upon his arrival in Charleston in April of 1861. Quote, it was established not by witch-burning Puritans, by cruel persecuting fanatics who implanted in the North the standard of Torquemada and breathed in the nostrils of their newly born colonies all the ferocity, bloodthirstiness, and rapid intolerance of the Inquisition. Of course, that is all urban legend, folks. The Inquisition was not bloodthirsty, and the Inquisition, if the truth and the facts be known about it, is exact opposite of what you have heard that makes up today's urban legend. We'll do a show on that one day. I'm not going to do it today. I'll leave it there. You don't believe me, don't take my word for it. Go ahead and scream at your radio and call me this, call me that, threaten the league. Go ahead and do all that. Go ahead and send me a piece of nasty email, my email address, kingdude@mikechurch.com. But before you do, go to YouTube and type in the search bar, BBC, Inquisition. Watch that and then send me your piece of hate mail. Because that's where I'm going to send you. Evil, corrupt, and dark. Northerners, back to Berzer. The South Carolinians assured him, shortly after their bombardment, of Robert Anderson's band of astoundingly brave Union men at Fort Sumter. Confusing its own bigotry with Christianity, Puritanism had birthed impurity of mind among men and unchastity in women, thoroughly enveloping the New England soul. The South Carolinians continued, evil, corrupt, and dark. Northerners might very well, quote, know how to read and write, but they don't know how to think, and they are the easy victims of the wretched impostors on all the ologies and the isms who swarm over the region, close quote. To a Southerner, the North seems nothing short of decadent. Its freedom not standing for anything but a loss of purpose and direction, its people confused, running in many directions. Gee, that sounds like modern American man, doesn't it? Sure sounds like it to me. Running in many directions, chasing nothing of import. Quote, the parties in this conflict are not merely abolitionists and slaveholders. They are atheists, socialists, communists, red Republicans, Jacobins on the one side, and the friends of order and regulated freedom on the other. Close quote. A famous Southern theologian, James Henley Thornwell, had written, in one word, the world is the battleground. Christianity and atheism, the combatants, and the progress of humanity is at stake. Another South Carolinian minister, Thomas Smith, claimed the Yankees to be Bible haters, anti-Christian levelers, and anarchists. If Puritanism had not caused enough trouble, its unholy allies, capitalism and immigration, had further corrupted the North. Now think about this. We're told all the time, over and over and over again, America's always been a capitalist country. We've always been capitalist. We got a capitalist system here. We may have a system that had capital in it, but the material-seeking capitalist of today is a far cry different from the I have to work in order to survive farmer or agrarian of the past. That's something that is noble and worthy of reacquiring. I was talking to someone the other day. I said, you do realize in October, folks, when we have Oktoberfest, how many of you like Oktoberfest beer? You do know that Oktoberfest is a huge celebration in parts of Germany for a reason, right? Do you know what the reason is? Well, the reason is that there is... it's the end of the harvest is over. Oktoberfest basically means that the hard work of the warm months, of the summer months, has begun, and now the leisure and the survival of the winter months set in. They didn't work during the winter. They had worked two seasons, and they partied two seasons, basically relaxed two seasons. Now, of course, they had the daily chores of cooking and cleaning and preserving and milking cows and things like that. But you have to remember that in Europe, especially at that time, they were going through many ice ages and such, that you couldn't grow vegetables here. You can't grow them year-round now unless you have a hothouse or a greenhouse. And so they actually took their leisure, they took their downtime much more seriously than we do. We are consumed. We are told over and over and over again that we need to be number one in work generated. Why? Why does America need to be number one in the amount of hours worked? Why do I care that the Japanese people work more hours a week than I do? But yet we tell our children, well, the Japanese people work more hours a week. We've got to get more productive. Productive does not necessarily mean working harder. I'd say that productive means working less. Not that there's anything wrong with good hard work. Back to Berzer. Here, now, folks, the Brexit vote is Thursday. I'm trying to shine a light here on the conditions under which a people are brave and bold enough to secede, brave and bold enough to actually pull the trigger, brave and bold enough to actually say, no, we have the right to govern ourselves, Mr. Lincoln. We don't have to obey you. Let me translate that. No, we have the right to govern ourselves, Mr. Obama or Mr. Trump. We don't have to listen to you. 844-527-8723. South Carolinians had their own sense of their own supposed superiority. Some criticize the institution of slavery for giving them this overconfidence. Masterdom made the man believe himself to be a god, the argument ran. A Northern College student, E.G. Mason, visited South Carolina in 1860 and saw things differently, however. Several things struck him: the clean streets, the friendly people, and relatively good white and black relations. That's right. We're often told that slavery generated racism and balkanization. Well, read any history book from the time of pre-civil rights relations between whites and blacks, and you will find that there was more camaraderie between the races than there is today. Today, it is forced upon us. Today, we are treated as though we are all born bigots and racists, a bunch of xenophobic Klan members. And therefore, the law acts to treat us as if we are Klan members, even though most of us are not. Back to the piece. Mason considered South Carolina to be a true res publica, a place, that's a public kingdom, a place where the best gave their all for the betterment of the community. The public institutions were admirably managed, and the best citizens gave to these their time and means without stint. Mason remembered in his 1884 memoir, their standard of duty in municipal and state affairs was lofty. Mason attributed this sense of superiority to the heroic behavior of their grandfathers in the American Revolution. Their self-confidence was boundless, Mason wrote. Their superiority to the citizens of other states was mentioned not boastfully, but in a quiet and axiomatic way. This was curiously exemplified in their revolutionary traditions and in their accounts of the part which South Carolina played in that great struggle. In late June of 1776, the militia of South Carolina, protected by palmetto logs, had defeated a British invasion of the harbor. By the way, that's mentioned in Times That Try Men's Souls. That's the victory of, Horatio Gates. No, it's not Gates. Yeah, it is Gates. How many of you know the story of how South Carolina got the palmetto as its flag? Do you know this? South Carolina got the palmetto as its flag because when the Brits were on their way to the harbor, in order to engineer a defense for the incoming British cannonballs, palmetto trees were cut down and were fashioned into ramparts. And when the palmettos are fashioned into ramparts, what happens when a cannonball strikes it? It bounces off. The palmetto is a flexible tree. It's not rigid like an oak tree. And so the cannonballs, the British were firing, were bombarding Charleston with palmetto enhanced fortifications, and the cannonballs were just bouncing back towards the British ships. In other words, they were impenetrable, and they don't burn either. Palmetto tree is very difficult to ignite. And that's why the palmetto tree is the tree that is the tree that you see in the South Carolina state flag. I have a palmetto tree, South Carolina tie. I bought it from Don Livingston, Mark, at a Abbeville Institute a seminar that I went to with Mrs. Church back in 2009. Embracing the legacy of Fort Moultrie and Jasper, as well as their deeply honored martial traditions, South Carolina served proudly as the home to three military institutes. You know, and one of them is still very famous. You know it as the Citadel. And then there's much more on this. I would encourage all of you to read this. More. Again, we're talking about Brexit. We're talking about actual freedom. And we're talking about, as we come up on Independence Day, what did it mean for the men who would go to the South Carolina Assembly in late June of 1776, vote to secede from Great Britain, and then fashion their own written constitution? What kind of man would do such a thing? I'll tell you what kind of man. A true patriot who truly loved the homeland, his land, not the American land, the homeland, the land where he lived, not the land where somebody in New Hampshire lived, the land where he lived. That's the definition. That's where we get the word patriam. It means a love of your land, of the fatherland, if you will. Folks, I'm not breaking any news here. If you're a longtime Mike Church Show listener, you should know all this. 844-527-8723. And many of you do know all this. Do we have those kind of men around us today? If we do, where are they? I'd like to meet some of them. Do you know any of them? I don't. Well, I know a few. I don't know enough. Less elite South Carolinians feared Lincoln's election as well. Old Abe is on his way to Washington, one Charlestonian lamented. He had been indulging in sundry stupid free love and coercive speeches. Lincoln, of course, never espoused free love and could be regarded, especially as of 1860, as a conservative and a constitutionalist. Ha! That's a joke, Brad. But the use of free love as symbolic for radical and revolutionary is certainly telling indeed. When many Southerners looked north in 1860, they saw not Lincoln but John Brown. Probably they heard not Lincoln's generally moderate and conservative words, but instead thought of the praise that well-known Northern intellectuals like Ralph Waldo Emerson had heaped upon Brown as a new saint who will make the gallows as glorious as the cross. Imagine that. Talk about a sacrilege. Good grief. Emerson was not alone in comparing Brown to Christ. Thomas Wentworth Higginson, who had backed Brown financially as a member of the Secret Six, a New England group of abolitionist ministers, admitted, "Why do you want to know us? Or why do you want to know of us? Did any historian ever bother to write down the name of the man who bought the donkey on which Christ rode into Jerusalem? We of the Six were as unimportant and incidental to the real story of John Brown as that ancient Judean is to the story of our Lord." Further, boy, you talk about being full of themselves. Now you see that error duplicated in 38,000 flavors of denomination, as we call it today. Further, Higginson argued the Harper's Ferry scheme had fallen because it was not personal or radical enough. A counterproposal to this Harper's Ferry scheme should have been made, Higginson claimed. While Lincoln was no John Brown, one can readily imagine why the South felt uneasy about the Republicans when they were identified with men like Brown and the praise heaped upon him by prominent figures like Emerson. When future Confederate Secretary of War James Seddon and Abraham Lincoln met during the late winter of 1861, the 1861 Peace Convention, the former complained, quote, "It is of your sins of omission, of your failure, to enforce the laws to suppress your John Browns and your garrisons who preach insurrection and make war upon our property. The South Carolina government went so far as to put one of Brown's pikes on display in the State House in Columbia as a reminder of the fanaticism of the North. Even those who recognize Lincoln as a good and solid man believed his election to reflect little more than a Northern hatred of the South. Well, they did hate the South. It's well documented that they hated the South. I got news for you. Northerners today still hate the South. You got pretty mouth, all you boy. It's a common knock and a refrain, isn't it? Southerners are a bunch of hick hayseed. Not nepotist. Practicing incest. Incestors. Ex-President Franklin Pierce, a doughface from New England, expressed his fear most articulately, claiming that the election of Lincoln was merely the logical conclusion to 12 years of Northern arrogance toward the South. By letters, by speeches, and private conversation, I have uttered for more than 12 years words of warning against the heresies which have swept over the North and culminated in the enactment of laws which are directly in the teeth of the clear provisions of the Constitution in 11 states, Pierce wrote from New Hampshire. But when you ask me to interpose, then comes this paralyzing fact that if I were in their Southerners' places, after so many years of unrelenting aggression, I should probably be doing what they are doing. This is a former president of the United States saying the Southern states ought to secede. And yet you still think that because Lincoln fought a war and killed 840,000 people, that secession is Uchinigu. It was said to be Lincoln. No, it wasn't. You cannot settle a political question with a military campaign. You settle military questions with military campaigns. I should say, I should rephrase that because you, okay, military wars do have political questions as part of the reasons why one would go to war. But acquiring a victory for a political question by force and violence is not acquiring it legitimately. I just rephrased it. So correct me from earlier. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. This is the Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Folks, if you like what you're hearing on the Crusade Channel today, if you like the Mark Kresler show that you heard earlier, if you're liking this show, the Mike Church show, welcome aboard, number one. And number two, why not join us? During the month of June, we've seen a surge in the amount of new members. We need for that to continue to grow our numbers. Folks, one of the things that we'd like to do, if we can ever get to break even here, and we're not there, and we are every month living hand to mouth and in danger of having to fold the tent up. We don't say that as a threat. I don't fold that to cast any doubt. So when I say fold the tent, the operation is going to have to get much smaller. That doesn't mean that this show we're in, I don't think that Mark's show would end, but the tent would get much smaller. So I ask you today to join the Founders Pass. If you like those shows and you'd like to see us, our success continue. Remember, we started this from scratch. Nobody is backing us. There's no Time Warner. There's no Life. There's no CNN. There's no USA Today. We don't have Disney studios behind us. We don't have Sirius XM and Liberty Media's money behind us, or DirecTV and AT&T's money behind us. We have your money behind us. And we're always in need of more of it. Trust me when I tell you, the volunteer force that works to make the Veritas Radio Network is large. And there's volunteer work that goes on every day. Some is going on right now that obviously cannot persist forever. So go to VeritasRadioNetwork.com and sign up today. And here's a bonus for you. We'll give you, if you sign up for a yearly Founders Pass membership or greater, I saw two brand new founding brothers signed up on Father's Day yesterday. And I'm going to call their names out next segment. If you go to VeritasRadioNetwork.com/join, you'll be on the join page. You can subscribe by the month or by the year for as little as 23 cents per day. And later on today, we will have free, 3-day free trial. So you can tell your friends, hey, you can go join actually and sign up and get a free trial. And the free trial will gain you access to 3 days worth of all the stuff that we keep behind the curtain. Downloaded capability on all our shows. We're going to have greatest hits packages coming out that we'll have at least one of them out later on today. There's lots of stuff going on at VeritasRadioNetwork.com for the radio connoisseur, for the audio-consuming public. But go sign up today, VeritasRadioNetwork.com/join, and don't forget our crowdfunding effort. This is a major part of how we attempt to stay and grow this network, and this channel is through the crowdfunding. Find it at VeritasRadioNetwork.com/... Or just click on the Veritas tab in the SOS category. That'll take you to the SOS page. It'll tell you all about the crowdfunding, all about becoming a Veritas Radio Network affiliate, where you can direct your friends and family to come to Veritas Radio Network and listen. And if they join, you'll get a commission. Be one of our affiliates today. I'm going to update the affiliate page today. Folks, did you know that not only can you add banner ads to your site, now you can actually add the Crusade stream to your site? And thanks, a shout-out to Brother Andre Murillo for working all day Thursday to make that possible. He sent me the widget code, and so I'm going to send it to you. So if you want to display the site and our channel, you want to be an affiliate and an affiliate broadcaster, you can do that beginning later on today. That's all at VeritasRadioNetwork.com/join, radio the way it should be. Now, let me finish up with Franklin Pierce. And in his letter that he wrote about the southern states seceding, but when you ask me to interpose, then comes this paralyzing fact that if I were in the Southerners' places, after so many years of unrelenting aggression, I should probably be doing what they are doing. It is not the election of Mr. Lincoln, per se, which has caused this emphatic movement at the South. That election, in beyond all doubt, constitutional. But the people of the Southern states look beyond it to see, if they can, what it implies. They see the great and powerful state of Massachusetts electing by 35,000 majority a man who justified the armed invasion of Virginia last year, and they believe that the people of Massachusetts are acting deliberately. They see Lincoln elected, and they take his election as an endorsement of his opinion that we cannot go on as we are, but must in the end be all free or all slave states. Foolish, absurd, and groundless as his view is and will always stand, the South takes his election as an endorsement of resistance to the law for the return of fugitives from service of 1851 and of the other heresy broadly promulgated by him and Mr. Seward referred to above of an irrepressible conflict. Now, Berzer notes that Pierce never sent the letter, but he assured his imaginary reader that though he was a Union man, he also believed that if our fathers were mistaken when they formed the Constitution, if time has proved it, the sooner we are in part, the better. Close quote. There's a former president of the United States, Franklin Pierce, one of the most constitutionally sound. As a matter of fact, he got my vote as number one. When I was asked by the Presidential Ranking Commission 3 years ago, Brian McClanahan, Kevin Gutzman, and I were all asked, I voted for Pierce as number one. He is the most constitutional of all presidents. Hey, by the way, listeners, here's all that American history you're always pining away for. I'm serving up mega doses the last 3 days. You people have been accusing me of becoming some sort of a rabid, all 24/7 papist here on this show. And I am demonstrating to you that nothing could be further from the truth. That, yes, when it's appropriate, I will talk about that. I will be a Catholic first, and I'll be a radio host second. But that doesn't mean that I ever left the discussion of American history or ever lost my love for it. I still love talking about it. This letter here that Berzer unearthed from Franklin Pierce, I didn't even know it existed. This is great stuff here. This is an American president. Pierce was elected. He served one term. As a matter of fact, his veto of the Indigent Care Act is one of the greatest veto messages you'll ever read. He explains why Obamacare is an abomination, why Medicare is an abomination, why Medicaid is an abomination. Mike, I wish you'd get back to talking about American history. Well, there you go. And where's the crowd? Where's my laurel, huh? Where's my lay, huh? Put the laurel. Come on, crown me. 844-527-8723, our telephone number. Wow, two calls on the first segment on a Monday. I am blessed today. Tell you what, Zach and North Dakota Dare up there. Zach, you're on the Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network, radio the way it should be. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. It's good to talk to you again. And I apologize in advance if my service cuts up because I may be in a rough area. So I'll just get that out of the way. But first, a quick comment. I just wanted to thank you for addressing the modesty issue with the way both men and women dress today. It's funny because my wife was actually mentioning that to me last night, asking how come none of us dress that way anymore. And so I just thought it was interesting that that was one of the first things you mentioned this morning. And so I appreciate that discussion because it's not like we're going to hear it anywhere else. And my question for you is, when we're talking about Brexit and secession, the common objection that comes up, especially amongst Christians within the Christian circles, is that, well, it's not really the Christian thing to do to disobey the government. And they point to Romans 13 as the justification. And I was just curious what your response would be to somebody who brought that objection to the table.
Wait a minute. Give that to me slowly again. Now, you're saying that they say that there is no justification to for the Brits to leave their union?
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's a lot of Christians that I've talked to who will say that the Revolutionary War itself was unchristian and was just a group of people disobeying God and their command to obey the government.
There's no command. All right. And they use what verse for this? What scripture?
Well, Romans 13, when, I don't know the exact quote, but Paul is just basically talking about our responsibility as a government, basically not to disobey, in a sense, the government. But, you know, in my opinion, they're really misquoting Paul because he also...
Well, of course they are.
You know, he gives, like, the duties of the government in that same verse, but they never really want to refer to that. All they see is, obey your leaders. And so, well, there's a whole other chapter around that, too. So, I mean,
Well, why don't we... This is the problem. Now you're going to get me off. I might have to play the air raid siren now, Zach. Thanks a lot. Appreciate you.
Hey, my pleasure.
Because... All right, so the air raid siren has gone off. You've been warned. Why don't we go to the actual source instead of to a apostle's writings after all revelation had ended? So why don't we go to an actual source? And why don't we go to there's a couple sources that we can go to that are pretty good. During the interrogation of our Lord by Pontius Pilate, what is it that Pilate... Now, I've been over this 100 ways a Sunday. It seems not to matter, though. What does Pilate tell Jesus after he's been scourged, Zach?
Pilate basically asks him if he's a king.
Yeah. And what is he... What is he
asks him what his kingdom is.
And my kingdom is not of this world. But then what does he tell him? What does he tell him? Using the verb. What does Pilate tell him?
I don't know the exact quote.
Yeah, don't you know I have the power to crucify thee?
That's right. Yeah.
And then now again, we're going to the source here. First generation source, the best source, the incarnate wisdom. What does the incarnate wisdom tell him?
Well, he says that power you're telling me you have comes from above.
That's
you wouldn't
right.
have that if it wasn't
you
for
don't have,
Almighty God.
That's right. You don't have any power other than what was given thee from above. Now you have to bear in mind part of Catholic teaching, moral teaching, magisterial teaching, dogma and doctrine. I know. Well, there you go, Mike. You ruined a perfectly good day of history with your stupid Catholicism. I'm out. All right. Well, go ahead and leave then, dude. I'm just going to tell you what the truth of the matter is, that there's nothing that happens in the life as recorded by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John of our Lord that is accidental. There's nothing. There's no occurrence. There's no town that he goes to. There's no people that he speaks to. There's no person that he identifies. There's no number that is transcribed. For example, after the resurrection, when he appears again at the lake and tells that the apostles, you're fishing on the wrong side. Of course, they don't recognize him. Throw your net on the other side, and they bring in more fish, and the net doesn't break. These are all what are known as types. And, of course, there's 153 fish in the net, et cetera, et cetera. Nothing happens by everything is a type. You want a mind-blowing example of where the authority comes from. It is recorded in the book of Luke that Mary and Joseph take our little Lord, and they take him to the temple to go in conformity with the Mosaic law to go be circumcised, and then they go and bring an offering of two turtle doves, right?
Right.
All right. Where did Moses get the law from?
That would be God.
That's right. So you want to talk about mind-numbing and mind-blowing there. So where does the authority come from? It didn't come from Moses. We got to obey the Mosaic law. You're not obeying Moses. You're obeying God. That the law came. What does our Lord tell the Pharisee in the temple? Before Abraham, I am. So it is clear, and there are other examples of this. It is clear that you do not owe blind allegiance to a central government or any form of government here on this earth that is acting illegitimately. If they are acting and contravening the eternal law of Almighty God himself, then you don't have to obey it. As a matter of fact, you're charged with the duty of not obeying it. You can't be compelled by government fiat into committing sin. You can't also be compelled into living in a system that has as its byproduct the commission of sin like that. So that's just ridiculous. You know what it is, though? You know what it is? 500 years on of everybody having a vote on what something says and not going back to what was agreed upon for almost 1,500 years. And look, whenever there was a controversy over a particular passage or a particular tradition or custom, there were councils that were held. Dozens upon dozens and dozens of councils. Bishops from all over the Christian world would gather, and they would debate, and they would pray upon these questions, and they would resolve themselves to come up with one singular magisterial answer. This has to be considered as a far better way of governing our Christian affairs than saying that everybody gets to interpret it themselves. That cannot possibly be. Why didn't Mary and Joseph get to interpret it themselves? Why didn't they go, hey, I just popped out the Christ kid. If I'm not the most puffed up person ever, I ought to be able to say, you know what, Moses, you can stick it. You know what, high priest, screw you. I'm not going in there. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to read that the way I want to read it. Instead, no, she conformed her mind to the reality that a law was a law in that particular instance. So, Zach, I got to go, but I would just tell your friends that they're crocked. You don't have to, and yes, of course you can choose your own form of government. And we ought to be choosing our forms of government. We ought to be getting the order correct. That is, we are Christians/Catholics first, and we are citizens and patriots second. You get that order correct, and it doesn't matter what form of government it is, as long as it remains in conformity to that simple order. I know. Mike, this admit their church, please. This is 2016. It's never going to work. Franklin Pierce, dude. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. Got a great flash sale going on at MikeChurch.com today. Remember, all purchases in the Founders Trading Post. You know, we're not sitting here in the back room counting money and puffing on cigars lit by $100 bills at the Founders Trading Post. All sales in our Founders Trading Post at MikeChurch.com/shop, and you can get Patrick Henry, American Statesman, a great book in paperback, discounted today while supplies last. It's called a flash sale, meaning there's a small number that we put out at a ridiculously low price. So go pick up a copy today, MikeChurch.com/shop. All right, folks, we'll take a time out. This is the Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network, radio the way it should be.